Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with episode 107 of Maestro on the Mic, and we're doing it Thursday shorty style. In this episode, I'm talking to you about the top 10 life lessons that I've learned from watching Game of Thrones thus far. Yes, you heard me correct. The top 10 life lessons that I have learned from watching Game of Thrones thus far. It comes back this weekend. I thought this episode was only apropos. If you're not a Game of Thrones fan, that is totally okay. I wasn't really until about like a month ago. But if you do decide to listen to the episode, and you should, I'm warning you now, there may be a few spoilers. Okay, let's go talk about Daenerys. DJ, gimme that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. And yes, that was the closest thing that I could get to the actual intro song for Game of Thrones, right? I wasn't trying to license any music for this, and so you get what you get. It was the closest I could get with GarageBand, so bear with me. But today's episode, I wanted to chat with you about the top 10 life lessons that I've learned from watching Game of Thrones. Now, full disclosure, I wasn't really a fan of the show, or I just didn't watch the show, and you know, everyone was so hype about it, and I was like, okay, is it really that good? Yes, it is that good. So my brother got me into it, and I watched an episode on a flight home, and I was like, yo, I gotta watch this. So this was like maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago. In that time frame, I have watched all 7 seasons, and I am now all caught up and ready for this weekend's return for season 8, the final season of Game of Thrones. So, you know, like I said in the intro, if you're not into Game of Thrones, but you decided to listen to this anyway, thank you. There may be a few spoilers, so you've been warned. Okay, so let's jump into this. Top 10 life lessons that I've learned from watching Game of Thrones. Now, you're going to notice that a lot of them, or a good number of them, come from some sort of interaction, perhaps with Daenerys, aka Khaleesi, aka the most amazing character on the show. So take that for what you will. Clearly, you're entitled to your own opinions with things, but I've just found the storyline surrounding her character and just her evolution as a leader to be very inspiring, but also, you know, things that you could draw a lot of life lessons from. So let's start this thing. Number 10, right? Top 10 life lessons. This is number 10. Some wins start as losses, right? This is relates to playing the long game here. Most specifically, I'm referring to the Battle of Casterly Rock, where Jaime has moved the army, the Lannister army, away from Casterly Rock and has taken them to Highgarden. And we see the Unsullied come and, you know, they storm the castle and such. And Grey Worm is like, yo, where the fuck are all the rest of everybody else? And Jaime has used it kind of as a decoy and moved his entire army. And throughout all of the seasons, we see Casterly Rock as this major thing. I got to hold on to it. So important. But he realized that he had to give it up for the long game. Right? He's playing the long game. And sometimes you have to take some L's in order to emerge victoriously. And whether or not we consider that he emerged victoriously after Daenerys came in with them dragons, right? TBD there. But the big picture there, the main point there, some wins will start as losses. And when we're playing the long game, we have to realize that, you know, as it relates to movement, anything like that, sometimes we have to get worse at things or, you know, concede some things before we get better at the thing, especially if we're looking at the long game. Point number 9, you cannot do it all yourself. We see with anyone that's in any kind of position in power in the show, they have, you know, councils. They have the hand of the king, the hand of the queen. I just spoke about him before, but the role of Grey Worm, right? He's the head of the Unsullied. And we see that if we want to make moves, right, we have to start bringing people on board. We got to start hiring people. We got to have employees. We have to delegate tasks, right? We can't do it all ourselves. Point number 8, the world that you want will not be built in a single lifetime. We all have these bigger pictures that we're looking at, and we want to make moves, and, you know, especially with the healthcare industry, we want to see reform. But realistically, this may not and likely won't happen within our lifetime. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't still keep fighting, but we have to understand that the steps that we need to take in order to get there, and they may feel small, but it's what needs to be done. This is most specifically referring to when Tyrion was talking to my love, Daenerys, and talking about her actions moving forward and how she really needs to stay the course and remember the bigger picture, and she can't just go, you know, burning down cities and things like that. She's trying to rebuild and create this new world. As soon as they rebuild, she's trying to create this new world, and that's going to take time, right? Tyrion specifically says, but the world you want to build doesn't get built all at once, probably not in a single lifetime. How do we make sure your vision endures? After we break the wheel, how do we make sure it stays broken, right? So the big take home with that is that we, once again, looking at that bigger picture, understanding that we need to take steps now that maybe won't create a full change in things. It won't turn the ship 180 degrees in our lifetime or, you know, immediately, but we still need to take those steps and put those things in place with the whole, you know, the whole time having that bigger picture in mind. All right, point number 7. It is often easier to take things than it is to keep them. This is again referring to Daenerys, and she was speaking with Tyrion. Actually, Tyrion was speaking to her and talking about how it was much easier to, you know, storm these cities, lay siege on these castles and such, and take them. But now she has to actually rule and keep order in these places. And that oftentimes it's a lot easier to just swoop in and be the new guy with the great ideas and the flashy stuff and just trying to break down old paradigms. That can be a lot easier than actually living it, staying there, trying to put new things in place, trying to actually, you know, listening to the people, really experiencing and being part of what they experience. That is typically a lot harder. And I think this is a really good example for one of my other loves, social media, right? I see so much of the time where people are just bashing other paradigms and saying why things don't work. That's actually very easy to do, right? To say, oh yeah, I don't like this, I don't agree with that, that's bad. The hard stuff is actually put out the content that is, this is what I believe, and I'm going to listen to other people, I'm going to be in the trenches, I'm going to be, you know, treating people, teaching people, listening to their pain points, and seeing how I need to adjust my own mantra. Right? It's very easy to just go and, you know, bastardize something. That is terrible. I don't agree with it. It's so bad. And just put these really inflammatory posts out there. Very easy. But what about when you're actually in the trenches? What about when you're actually treating patients with chronic pain? Is it as easy as what you see on social media and just being like, no, don't do manual treatment. There's no value in this. The studies haven't supported it. What happens when you actually have to be in it and treat and you have to, you know, for lack of a better word, rule? As opposed to just going and conquering and saying why this thing doesn't work, why you don't like it, right? So, like I said, it's oftentimes easier to take things than to keep them. That's where the real work comes in. Okay, on to point number 6. This is probably one of my favorites here. When in doubt, get stronger. This specifically relates to season 4, the fight between Oberyn and the Mountain. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was hella surprised by the ending, and I was like, what? Right? You kind of, so I wasn't super surprised that you knew it was coming because he was just dancing around, celebrating, and you're like, nope, you're about to die. But just how they did it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, wow. So what I took from this immediately was, you know, don't get caught up with the fancy stuff, with the, oh, look how smart I am, with the neurological trickery. We see a ton of it on social media. We see a ton of it in the physical therapy space where we're just looking for hacks. We're looking for, you know, neural hacks, neurological trickery to like get these things done fast. And we know that if just as quickly as something comes, it will go away. That is why I'm a big fan, a big proponent, a big supporter of this concept of owning the basics, owning the foundations, and one of those things being simply getting stronger, right? Oberon would be akin or, you know, likely likened to the fancy neurological stuff. He's dancing, or fancy neurological trickery, excuse me. He's dancing around, right? He's not like just getting the job done. Very flashy. Whereas we have the mountain, a bit of an ogre of a man, but, you know, he owns the basics. He can still fight. And in the end, who emerges victorious? It's not all the fancy, flashy stuff. Yes, we could say it's, you know, brute force, but, you know, the mountain does have a little, nice little, like, sweep that he does on Oberon's leg there. But the big take home, when in doubt, get stronger. Own the foundations, with strength being one of those major foundations. And so much of what we see, so much of the dysfunction that we see, I truly believe, can be helped, right? So much of the dysfunction that we see within humans and the patients that come to see us. I really do think that, you know, I brought Bud Jeffries on for an episode, and I can't agree more with him. I'm going to actually link those in the show notes. I brought him on for two episodes, actually, and he's a strong man, and I love what he was preaching, right? So much of this, we just got to get people stronger. Okay, on to point number five. We need to work together if we're going to reform healthcare. This could be said about anything, but given this podcast and my audience, I'm going to speak specifically to reforming healthcare. If we're trying to reform it, if we want things to actually change, we have to work together. Don't be a Cersei. This relates to the show in that we see at the end of season 7, they all have to band together if they want to defeat the Army of the Dead, right? If they want to defeat the White Walkers, they're going to have to all pull together. If we liken healthcare, health insurance, that shitty model, to the White Walkers, the Army of the Dead, the only way that we are going to, you know, fight it, overcome it, is if we all pull together. When I say all of us, I mean all the different kind of providers. I see too much bickering, just even within single fields, right? PTs just arguing with PTs. It makes no sense. You know, PTs arguing, you know, turf wars with Chiros and PTs having turf wars, and, you know, acupuncturists having turf wars with PTs and people that want a dry needle and all this shit, right? We are all trying to help the living. We all are on the same side. And if we really want to reform healthcare, we have to do it together. Don't be a Cersei. All right, point number four. You will build an army no matter what you stand for. So pick your message accordingly. Right. We see all these different houses within the show. We see, you know, the big army there, like the Army of the Dead. Right. This really relates, and when I, you know, I'll make it more specific to social media. You will build an army no matter what. You can bitch and moan and complain and be super negative, Army of the Dead, and you will build a following, and quite possibly a huge following, because misery loves company. Flip side. You can be a Daenerys, give the people hope, give them something to really stand behind. Right? Again, it don't be a Cersei. She's trying to lead by fear. And we see within the episode, right, in the later episodes, where that army won't stand for her because at the end of the day, they're only behind her because of fear, not because of hope. This is, again, a Tyrion, or more specifically from a quote, a Tyrion to Daenerys quote. This happened in season 7 when they're actually talking about the Battle of Casterly Rock. And Tyrion's talking about the Unsullied going against the Lannister army and just saying that the Lannister army is, you know, they're bigger, they're probably, you know, more well prepared. But he says, my sister's army fight for her out of fear. The Unsullied will be fighting for something greater. They will be fighting for the freedom and the person who gave it to them. They will be fighting for you. And that is why they triumph. So I, you know, yes, I spend a lot of time on social media. And this is something that I've always said, because there are some accounts out there that are just so negative, and they have huge followings. And those followers are equally negative. You will build an army regardless. Choose accordingly. Right? Pick your message accordingly. Moving on to number three, do your own dirty work. right? Do your own damn dirty work. This goes all the way back to season one, episode one. I actually made this into a daily maestro or daily-ish maestroism. This was a quote or comes from a quote from the one and only Ned Stark, right? Pretty surprising he didn't make it out of season one. Like, I knew he wouldn't because I watched this clearly so late that I had seen spoilers and, like, everyone was talking about it and, like, saying that, you know, everyone dies, but it was still like, dang, right? Like, no one's safe. So what did Ned say? I think we all know this quote. The man who passes the sentence should swing the sword. The man who passes the sentence should swing the sword. That's a little bit of a tongue twister there. But he goes on to say, if you would take a man's life, you owe it to him to look into his eyes and hear his final words. And if you cannot bear to do that, then perhaps the man does not deserve to die. He's saying this to Bran, actually, after he beheads one of the deserters, you know, quote-unquote deserters from the Night's Watch, after that guy saw the White Walker. So I really love this quote, and I think it is a good way to have people, you know, own up to their word, right? Don't say things if you're not going to follow through. Do your own dirty work. I think it's a nice, you know, kind of built-in checks and balance almost system where ideally, if you truly live by this mantra, you're not going to say shit that you yourself wouldn't be willing to do. Right? That's super important. Okay, down to the last two, my friends. This one is, I'm going to say, my favorite scene in the entire show. And you know I love me some Daenerys. So, yes, it's about her. Point number two, or the second biggest, most important thing that I've learned from watching Game of Thrones. Dream big, play big, win big. So this comes from the scene, and I know you guys are right there with me. Season six, Daenerys has been taken to the Temple of the Dosh Kaleen, and she's talking to all the calls, and they're just basically saying all the bad things that they're going to do to her. They're just like trying to show how big they are, and spoiler, she sets that shit on fire. Like, literally, the whole scene is fire. She sets the whole fucking place on fire. I stood up in my living room. I was, like, banging my chest. Watching this, like, that episode, that moment was incredible. Right? So let me just read the whole entire quote here. Right? She's sitting in front of all these men. It's just her, this whole group of men, all the calls, and she is just unafraid, just being Khaleesi, right? Being Daenerys. She says, I'm going to try my best to, like, read it in the Daenerys voice, right? This is where Drogo promised to take his Khalasar west to where the world ends, to ride the wooden horses across the Black Salt Sea as no Khal has ever done before. He promised to kill the men in their iron suits and tear down their stone houses. He swore to me before the Mother of Mountains. And here, now, what great matters do the great Khals discuss? Which little villages you'll raid and how many girls you'll get to fuck? How many horses you'll demand in tribute? You are small men, and none of you are fit to lead the Dothraki. But I am, so I will. Damn, that scene, literally, like I said, I like stood up, I was freaking pounding on my chest, like, dream big, play big, win big. Stop selling yourselves short. Whatever project it is that you're working on, whatever you're trying, you know, charge for your services, all of it. You're thinking about the company or the business that you maybe want to start one day or what your dream life looks like. Dream big. Go after it. Play big. Stop with that small shit. Nobody has time for it. Right? Daenerys told you, ain't nobody got time for that small shit. Dream big, play big, win big. All right, I'm like really fired up over here. Down to point number one, or the top thing, the number one thing that I learned from watching Game of Thrones thus far. You guys ready for this? Winter sucks. All right? You thought maybe I was going to say winter is coming. Ew. Winter sucks. They've been saying it since episode one, just talking winter is coming. You know, people are scared of it. It's bringing with the freaking White Walkers. Man, you know, it is a symbol for other things for sure, but winter is cold, people freezing, the horses are dying, no food. and White Walkers. Winter sucks. Let's count that as another vote for living in sunny Southern California. All right, friends, that's going to wrap it up. Those are my top 10 things that I learned from watching this amazing show, Game of Thrones. If I spoiled something for you, I'm sorry, but not that sorry, because I told you there's going to be some spoilers. It comes back this Sunday. I am super pumped. I literally watched the entire season, or excuse me, the entire show, all 7 seasons in like a month. I just binged and I was slammed for like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was worth it. So let's just run it down from the top again. Number 10, some wins start as losses, right? We're playing the long game here. Number 9, you cannot do it all yourself. Number 8, the world you want will not be built in a single lifetime. Number 7, it is often easier to take things than it is to keep them. Number 6, when in doubt, get stronger. All right, just remember Oberyn's head explosion there, right? When in doubt, get stronger. Number 5, we need to work together if we're going to reform healthcare. Plain and simple. Number 4, you will build an army no matter what you stand for. So pick your message accordingly. Number 3, do your own dirty work. Number 2, coming straight at you from my girl Daenerys. Dream big, play big, win big. And number 1, winter sucks. All right, friends, that is going to do it for episode 107. I would love to hear from you guys, though. Like, I do like talking about the, you know, like conspiracy theories and such about Game of Thrones. So please DM me, right, at The Movement Maestro. I also love when you guys screenshot the fact that you're listening to this thing and post it on social media. It's just really cool to just see the community and the different people that are listening and when you guys are listening. So please hit me up. Tag me on social media. I love it. All right, another Thursday, not so shorty, coming your way. Until next time, friends, Maestro out.